Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, in Jesus' name, we pray. So we started last week talking about the purpose and power of prayer. And today we want to talk about prayer secrets. What are some prayer secrets? Well, by the grace of God and the help of God, I'm going to give you four key prayer secrets. Because what the encouragement is that we should step up our game in prayer. Amen. Someone once said, learning to pray is more important than getting a college education. And so it's so critical and so important that we learn how to pray. Everybody say, learn how to pray. Now, John 15:7, I'm going to give you four scriptures for the foundation of what we're teaching from about prayer. And John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, again, the condition is if. If, one, you abide in me. Two, and my words abide in you. In other words, the word of God has to abide in you. The teachings of Jesus have to abide in you. The promises of the word that are outlined in the scriptures have to abide in you. But you have to abide in him, being a believer. Prayer is the believer's link to God. Amen. It's where we have our conversations with God. It's where we conduct legal business in the realm of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, in the Living Translation, it says, pray in the Spirit. Everybody say pray. At all times, on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Philippians 4, 6 in the New Living Translation says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Praise God. And we said that there's the three circles in the Christian's life should be like this. When the worry circle is there, the worry circle is the first circle. He says, don't worry about anything. What should be in there? Nothing. Nothing that crops up in your mind, comes upon your thinking, that you get concerned and fretful about. Immediately, you should get it out of that worry circle. And you should move it over into the prayer circle because it says pray about everything. And so as good friends and Christian in relationship with other people, we should always ask, did you pray about that? Somebody began to tell you a concern or a problem that they're going through. Did you pray about that? Because we shouldn't be talking about stuff we hadn't prayed about. The only way we should be talking about stuff is to get agreement about it so that we can pray for it. Amen. Everybody say it with me. Worry about it. Don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And in everything, thank God. Thank God for what he's done. So there should be a Thanksgiving circle. A Thanksgiving circle should have in everything. 1 Thessalonians tells us, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. So in everything, no matter what the circumstances is, you need money, you're behind on your bills, you're physically infirmed or sick, in everything, give thanks. We encourage everybody to become an addicted thanksgiver. Amen. I mean, for the old hit and miss car you have now, if you have a car that's old and raggedy a little bit, you until you give him thanks for that car, you stay stagnant. You can't get the new car. Amen. Until you give thanks for that last meal, there's no other meals coming. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let's all read that together. You can put it on the screen. Everybody read it. Ready? Read. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. So we encouraged everyone to examine their prayer life. How are your conversations with God? Is God a long-distance emergency button you push when you're in crisis or when things are very critical? Or do you meet and talk with God every day? Amen. Our Father God is a prayer-answering, need-meeting God. But he requires us to pray before he gets involved in our affairs. So we said, what is prayer? Prayer is giving God legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affairs. Prayer is man giving God legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affairs. Prayer is giving heaven earthly license to influence earth. So we said God is limited. John Wesley said it. It seems as though God is limited by our prayer life. He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. So did you ask God about it? I often tell people if they're going to get a new job or going to look for a new job or going to get a job, they need a job, or need a better job, did you pray about it? Did you ask God about it? Amen. If you never ask, you never get anything. You never get guidance, direction, or correction. You never get instruction. Because he said you have not because you ask not. And so you got to ask. Everybody say ask. And if you take the acronym ASK, you can just break it down. That's Matthew 7 says, ask and you shall receive. Seek, S is seek, seek and you shall find. K is knock. Knock and the door shall be opened. Unless you ask, everyone that asks, Jesus said it, everyone that asks receives. Everyone seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door is open. What's God telling us? What's God telling us through Christ? He said, he wants you to ask. If you know how to give good things to your children when they ask you, how much more, Matthew 7, 13, shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Because God wants to be your source and your only source. He said, ask me. And we said last week, some people pray to God, but you have to learn, friends, and we have to learn to, there's a big difference between praying to God and praying to your Father, amen, your Heavenly Father. All kind of religious people are praying to God. They're climbing mountains, walking on their knees, doing all kind of penance stuff, trying to get to God, trying to talk to God, trying to send God a message. But you should, everyone in here who's a born-again believer should have conversations with God, with our Heavenly Father, every day, all the time. Never stop. Everybody say, never stop praying. Prayer is proof that you trust God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways. What? How many ways? All of them. All the ways. The ways of your family. The ways of your finances. The ways of your future. The ways of your children. The ways of your grandchildren. The ways of your relationships. The ways of your household. The ways of your job. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall what? Direct your path. In other words, you got to include him and not exclude him. Include the Lord and not exclude the Lord. Amen? Now, you can talk about just daily stuff because we got to live in the natural and the practical. I mean, when the last time you went to HEB or Walmart, did you talk to the Lord? Some things we think, well, God's too busy for that, you grocery shop. No, he's not. Because he's God and nobody's like him, he's omnipresent. Amen. That means he's everywhere present. He's where you are if you're in a dark hole in a back alley somewhere. And you better be talking to him. Amen. And he's God when you're underwater somewhere. And he's God when you're in the grocery store. When you pull it up on that car parking lot because you didn't see this commercial and fell in love with this car, and they're getting ready to take you tooth and toenail and take you to the cleaners. You better be talking to your father. If you decide to move, relocate, you better be talking to your father. Hey, are you listening to me? Glory to God. If you decide to change jobs, quit your job. Walk out on your job. You better be talking to your Heavenly Father. Because don't call me up. I'm going to say, did you talk to God about it? Did God tell you to quit? Did God tell you to leave? Well, what do you think I'm supposed to say to you? Amen. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Don't lean to your what? Own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. So one practice is to practice the presence of God. Even if you're in Walmart, be talking to God. Sometimes I've been known to put things back at the register or put things back on the shelf because, you know, it was my flesh that's talking and not my father talking. My father said, you don't need that, or you don't need to spend that money right now. Hallelujah. Now, I yielded to the flesh, just like everybody else in here, because I'm in good company. I bought things because my flesh wanted them. Everybody say, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. So prayer is also the expression of man's relationship with God and the participation in his purposes. Prayer is an expression of man's unity and relationship of love with God. An expression of mankind's affirmation and participation in God's purposes on the earth. Prayer is simply having a conversation with God and communicating with God and allowing these conversations with God to have a priority place and role in our daily life as a Christian believer. Prayer is not just an activity, a ritual, or an obligation. Well, I prayed 10 minutes today, or I prayed an hour today. Well, you're thinking of it ritualistically and almost dutiful, but it should be devotional. Amen. And not obligational. You should love to run to the throne of grace and talk to God and sit up in your father's lap and say, Abba, Father. Yes. Woo, glory to God. And people that get in contact with you throughout the day should know he's been with the Lord. She's been with the Lord. She's been with Jesus. Hallelujah. It's communion and communication that touches God. So prayer is practicing the presence of God. Prayer is not, therefore not an option for us. It's a necessity. So the question is, how is your prayer life? If we don't pray, he can't interfere with our earth's affairs. It is imperative that we take the responsibility for the earth and the realm of influence, sphere of influence that you live in, to determine what happens here by your prayer life. Heaven needs you to give it license to impact earth. Amen. And you and I can make a difference in the course and change of history if we just understand this purpose and power of prayer. So we must pray that embodies the principles of God that he's given in his word. Amen. And so we can pray effectively without seeking. James 4:8 tells us, draw nigh to God, and what? He will draw nigh to you. This is an exciting invitation that God gave you to himself. He says, pull up real close to me. Come real close to me. And see, when you're religious and you don't have a relationship, you think God is some something for a few people to really get connected to. So you don't talk to him in conversational tone. You think, I'm scared. I have to be all formal. I got to do all this thing. I can only pray in church. You better be praying in your bathroom. Amen. You should be able to pray in your bedroom. Amen. Amen. And if you're at work, you should be able to pray in your boardroom. You should be able to pray on location. Pray wherever you are. Amen. So, prayer is communication with God, but believing and receiving, he has already given to us. It is believing and receiving what he's already given to us in Jesus. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. Proverbs 19, 21, 22. Prayer does not mean we are convincing God to do your will or to do what you want. It's not manipulation of God. Some people cry and scream and yell and fuss. Amen. God will pass over 1,000 people praying in unbelief, and he'll land on the one that's praying in faith. Amen. But doing his will through your will. Prayer is doing his will through your will. Amen? So God's will is the authority of our prayers. Prayer is calling forth what God has already promised and predestined and purposed. Continuing his work on creation and the establishment of his plans here on the earth. All that God is, all that God has, may be received through prayer. Isn't that good? God's will is the confidence of our prayers. Some people say, well, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be praying for. Well, the answer is found in our purpose. We are not to ask to do anything outside what we have been given to do based on our purpose. And that's what we get into asking amiss. Amen. There's the asking amiss, but there's the asking aright. But if we don't pray, friends, our world will be susceptible to the influences of Satan, sin, or sicknesses. If you don't pray over your household, Satan will get in with sickness. Amen. You keep him out through your prayer life. His influence out through your prayer life. You don't just send your children to school. You send them with prayer wrapped around them to school. Amen. See, when you neglect to pray, you're failing to fulfill your role in his purpose. If you're, you have a relationship, married or whatever, family, when they go to work, your prayers are going to be going to work with them. Because it's just like being in a war. You're out there fighting on the frontier of the vocation or job you're in. And that most people come home and talk about the drama, talk about how bad the boss is, and talk about what's going on at work. We ought to be talking about what God is doing at work. How God is influencing our work. That means if you got the stay-at-home role, then your role is to pray for those that go out. Amen. And wrap them up. Vanetta Copeland, Kenneth Copeland's mother, and she said she during the Depression, there she's gone home to be with the Lord along with her husband, with her dad. Now, Brother Copeland's 80 years old today, and he said that his mom and dad, they had tithing in their marriage vows, but also, she said during the Depression, she prayed him into the job every day. So, jobs were just rare, scarce. And so she would always pray over him 3-4 hours a day, and that he would be locked into a job. One job would close and shut down one day. The next day, he'd get another job. So he always kept a job going. Somebody said, glory to God. I'm giving you a hint, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Hallelujah. Prayer is more important than going out there doing physical labor. You better be praying. It's especially if that person is the breadwinner and the income provider, through God's grace and help, you ought to be praying for him. Amen. Or her. Amen. Amen. And so when Brother Copeland was up in the day, and Sister Gloria talks about it, she said her job was the 8 hours of prayer. Folding clothes, doing dishes, doing laundry, and cooking dinner, but she was praying in between. For who? Her husband. A broken relationship with God means a broken effectiveness in prayer. Most people don't have a real good intimate connection with God because they have no prayer life. And they always say, when you're in the church and you're in the kingdom of God and you have no prayer life, all you got is a career in religion. That means you tell people you go to church. I might throw something in the offering every once in a while. But you have no life because there's no relationship. The relationship is broken because there's no prayer life. Amen. When you have no prayer life and you can articulate and talk about with great intimacy, then all you got is a career in religion. Well, praise the Lord. Let me keep going. If time spent in prayer, friends, is not to be wasted, but to be invested. It should be purpose-driven, motivated by the knowledge of God's will. You go through the scriptures as we read the Bible and whatever. Some of those scriptures that you read on a daily basis should be petitions coming out of your mouth from your heart in prayer. Amen. So let's get these secrets out. You ready? Secret number one, pray and say according to God's word. Everybody say it with me. Pray and say according to God's word. So Jesus is our mediator, intercessor, advocate, our Lord. He stands between us and the Father, the place in the Bible. In place in the Bible, it is recorded that Jesus told his disciples, there's no place in the Bible, excuse me, where Jesus told his disciples to pray to him. He was teaching his disciples to pray to the Father. We're always told to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So here's the rub. A lot of people pray to Jesus, but Jesus said, don't pray to me. You don't pray, Jesus, Jesus, help me. You have a relationship with your Father. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So you pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can praise Jesus. You can thank Jesus. You can exalt Jesus. You can worship Jesus. But you don't pray to Jesus. He taught us, pray to the Father in my name. You ask the Father in what? My name. So if you want to be sure your prayers are reaching the throne, you must come according to the rules laid down in the Word of God. God is not going to change his word because we beg him. Now let's look at John 16 and let's analyze this for a minute. John 16, 23, 24. If you have a Bible, these should be highlighted verses. These should be circled verses. You should be star and asterisk in these verses. Why? Because this is one of the most important prayer of faith. Your individual prayer life should be on the basis of these scriptures. I'm going to give you a couple more. He said, in that day, the day he goes away, you shall ask me what? Nothing. Most assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name. Now, that's wide open. Everybody say, that's wide open. In my name, he will give it to you. Up till now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. Whew, glory to God. And you can make a note of this. This is the prayer of faith. This is respective to your individual prayer life, your individual praying. What is the prayer of faith? Because there's 11 types of prayer we find in the New Testament scripture understanding of the big umbrella of prayer. So prayer is like sports, ladies and gentlemen. You don't just say, I'm going to pray about it. What are you going to pray about it? How are you going to pray about it? Come on, give me some details. Don't tell me I'm going to pray about it. No, tell me what you're going to pray and how you're going to pray. Because there's 11 different types of prayer. Prayers like sports. We can't just put them all in the sock and shake them up and say, we're praying. No, different ones have different rules. You can't play football rules with basketball. You can't apply baseball rules to football. The prayer of faith is simply this, to change something or to get something. Sometimes we need things to change, perhaps in your body, perhaps in your marriage and or family. Perhaps you need to get something. We learned this morning, you know, get in a new car. You should pray about it. But you should use the prayer of faith. And you got to know how to operate according to the rules of the Word of God. Are y'all listening to me? Yes. Amen. We might love in Jesus and appreciate him, but when it comes to praying and asking, we must ask who? In whose name? Jesus. Amen. 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 Ephesians tells us, even gives us more glimpse. Ephesians 3:14-15, but for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And we said before, many people are praying to God, but they don't know nothing about praying to the Father. One of the words for Father is the word source. It is originator. Amen. He's the source of everything you need. That's why he's called Father. So when you're praying to God, your Father, your Heavenly Father, he is your source of everything you need. Amen. Giving thanks, Ephesians 5:20, unto the Father, always to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's look at another scripture. This is the prayer of faith or the saying part of faith according to God's word. Now let's look at Mark 11:23-24. Again, these verses should be highlighted, circled, underlined, asterisked in your Bible. These are some of the most important words Jesus taught. Mark 11:23 says, for surely I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, so now he just got finished talking about saying, but then he's going to talk about in verse 24, praying. Because when you pray it, you still have to say it. But there's times you can just say it and don't need to pray it. So secret number one is pray and say according to God's word. The Holy Spirit will always lead you in the right direction. Amen. Some things you need to say, some things you need to pray. But if you pray, you still have to say. I didn't confuse anybody, did I? All right. So y'all say glory to God. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you ask in when you pray, believe that you receive them equal, and you will have them. So we say the formula of the prayer of faith is this, verse 24. Desire, what's everything you ask when you pray, or King James says desire when you pray. Desire plus prayer plus believe that you receive them equals you shall have them. So when you pray, you got to believe you got it before you get it. That's praying in faith. Some people pray hoping they're going to get it, and then they never get it, and that's called frustration. Because the didn't answer didn't come. What's wrong? I prayed about it. No, did you pray in faith? That means you got to believe where? With the heart. Not with the head. The money might not be there. The sickness may not be gone. The pain may still be there in your body. But you believe that you receive when you prayed. Amen. In your spirit, in your heart. Not with your head. You can have doubt in your head. You can be seeing all kinds of H-E double hockey sticks and the walls naked around you, and you're thinking, man, I don't see how God's going to do this. But you believe where? In your heart. Faith works in the heart. even with thoughts of doubts in your head, faith will work in your heart. Ooh, everybody say, this is good stuff. Man, this is worth $1 million to every one of you in this room. Because you could be sleeping under a bridge, under Medina Bridge downtown, on a cardboard box, and you get a hold of Mark 11, 23, 24, and you can start going up. Woo! Glory to God. You can start going up. Because you know how to pray, and you know how to say, and you know how to speak.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm trying to calm down. I'm trying to teach you today. And so the story we gave, and it bears repeating. Y'all doing good?
Yeah.
We get through these four secrets here. So this is one number one. But Brother Hagin was dealing with his brother for 15 years. He's prayed for his brother to be saved. Now, again, you ask, you have not because you ask not. But then you ask and receive not because you ask wrong. Amiss, it just means wrong. You're asking the wrong thing. Sometimes ignorance and not knowing how to pray about a situation is a bad thing. And so he, for 15 years, he's praying for his brother, Dub, oldest brother, black sheep of the family, really bad guy, fight all the time, angry all the time, because their daddy left him, you know, Brother Hagin and his brother. They left him, left their mom crazy, and she was in and out of mental stuff and was really no good because she was left in dire straits with four children, including Brother Hagin. And so they hated. They had actually made a pact that one day when they got old enough, they were going to kill their father. And he said he meant it too. He meant every word of it because the way he treated him. Now, he grew up in a bad, horrible situation. Now, he got raised up, healed by the power of God, born again. His heart changed. He would, you know, he couldn't keep that promise anymore. Can't kill people as Christians, okay? That's just not a good thing to do. Praise God. And so, anyway, so he's praying about his brother, older brother. Other brother's still stray, running around, drinking, angry, fighting, bar fights. He's a tall guy because he's about 6'7". And so he's a big guy, or 6'5", I think. But he was a big guy, and he, you know, just had an anger streak and always fighting and getting in trouble. And so he's going the wrong way, and so he'd been praying 15 years, even fasted, he said. And the Holy Spirit had to correct him. He said, well, the Lord told him. He said, well, I've done everything. You asking me to save your brother, and for 15 years you've been asking, and I've already done everything I've done to save your brother. And he sat up. He's on his knees now crying. Save my brother, Doug. Save my brother, Doug. He's praying, but he's praying wrong. And so he got up and praying. He's now open and yielded to the Holy Spirit. Now remember, every time you're open and yielded to correction, it gives you access to direction and instruction. But when you close off to the Holy Spirit's and the Lord's correction, you'll never receive the direction or the instruction. So sometimes we're hitting our head against a wall, boom, boom, and we think, if I just wear God out, 15 years now, missed meals and everything, and he's begging God to save him. And so he sat up, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord, corrected him. And said, he said, I'm not keeping your brother from being saved. I've done everything I've done. And he took him to the word. Everybody say, you always need to go to the word. Turn to someone next to you and say, you always need to go to the word. What does the word say? Well, the word said that the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, because they believe that the ones that are lost don't believe because they're lost, because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that don't believe. So Satan was blinding his mind. The whole world that's unsaved, unchurched, people not even serving God have blinded minds. It's worse to have blinded mind than blinded eyes. Because they can't see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't see it, and they don't believe it, and they can't act on it or do it. And so he said, well, how do I deal with that? He said, use the name of Jesus. He said, you'd never use the name of Jesus. But the name has been given to the church. and to every believer. Not as a rabbit's foot or lucky charm, ladies and gentlemen, but the name of Jesus is part of your spiritual inheritance in Christ. So you use the name of Jesus. It's like a legal power of attorney. It's just like Jesus standing there himself when you say, in faith, in Jesus' name. When you say, in Jesus' name, it's like Jesus being right there to see that it gets done. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I thank my God, I thank you, Father, that you always hear me when you pray. So he always hears Jesus. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, according to the word of God, it's done. It's not done because you all big and bad and big boss with the hot sauce. No, it's done because of the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so he said, use that name and break the power of the devil operating in your brother's life. And said, then claim his salvation and deliverance. And you know, that's when he said, I stretch my faith out to my second and third cousin. My faith would reach out to my second, and one by one, he started plucking them in. Woo! What can you do in prayer? When you pray according to the word and deliver that word in Jesus' name, what can you get done? Hallelujah. So he rose up. He said he took his Bible up and rose up. He said, Satan, I break your power over my brother Doug's life in the name of Jesus. And I claim his salvation and his deliverance. Somebody say, glory to God. So it was done. Then he said he woke up whistling and singing because the joy had got. He said, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Amen. Come on now. Your joy is not full when you can't hardly see straight because your bills are way over your head. Your joy is not full when you're sick and inflicted and infirm and you can't hardly get along because you hurt so bad. Your joy can't be full when your children's sick and your children getting beat up at school. Come on now. When your children on drugs and getting in trouble. How can your joy be full? Amen. But we got the power. Everybody say, we got the power of prayer. Amen. 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 And so, 10 days. Everybody say, 10 days. So he's walking along, and a day later, here come the devil. He's not going to open the door and say, come on out. I'm just going to let go of your brother, and everything's going to be fine. Everybody say, he's a meanie.
He's a meanie.
But he's also a persistent cuss. And so that means he's going to come back around and try to steal and nullify your prayer. And so what did he do? Came to Brother Hagin. You don't think your brother Dove will get saved, do you? Now he comes with those three levels, those three acronyms I use. TIS, thoughts, ideas, suggestions. He's not coming with pitchfork and horns. He's coming right here. You don't think your brother will be saved, do you? So Brother Hagin said he had to stop and get that thought out of his mind. That's spiritual warfare. It's the battles between your ears, ladies and gentlemen. When the devil brings those thoughts, ideas, suggestions to you to get you off of the word of God, to get you out of faith and into a place of reason and your mentality. If he can pull you out of a place of faith, he can pull you out of a place of victory. So he had to stop, and then he had to respond to the devil. Now, most people don't do this. That's why they don't get their prayers answered. Because the devil came and asked him that simple question. But remember, Mark Hankins taught us, or at least I learned through him, that you got to learn to talk back to the devil. Or if you're silent, you lose by default. So if you just let the devil just talk to your head all day, he's going to take you out of faith. Amen. And pull you down into the reason realm. So he had to stop, pull that thing out, and say, Mr. Devil, I don't think he'll be saved. I know he'll be saved. Because yesterday, I used the name of Jesus and broke your power over my brother's life. Amen. And then he said laughter came up in the spirit, and he began to laugh right in the devil's face. He said a few days later, when he walked across the house in the same spot, the devil came back to him. You don't think your brother Doug would be saved, do you? He's persistent. He brought it back. What am I talking about? That is real spiritual warfare, friends. He brings you out to get you to grab a hold of doubt. And if you agree with the devil and run your mouth and say, well, I sure hope so. He didn't whip you. He didn't got you already down in that realm. You got to talk back the word. You got to talk back the name of Jesus. He said, no, I don't think he'll be saved. I know he'll be saved because I'd use the name of Jesus a few days ago and broke your power over my brother's life. He said he had to do it twice. In 10 days, he got a report that his brother had been saved. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. 15 years of nothing happening, but he used the name of Jesus. So, friends, here's what I said to you last week, and it bears repeating. You and I can't afford to try to solve our spiritual problems with our minds. That's where we get off. Are you listening to me? I know we think in individuals, but Jesus didn't say, come into me and think. He said, come into me and drink. The more you drink, the better you think. I'm not talking about drinking liquor. I'm talking about the wine of the Holy Spirit, the wine of the Word, the water of the Word of God. Amen. You need to be drinking that Word and drinking the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because 99% of all of our issues are spiritual. You think it's natural, that person acting up. Oh, that child's acting like a, you know, like a demon from hell. You know, I'm not saying you should say that about your kids. But you might think it. Praise God. He said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. Who's trying to mess with you? Who got your family all at odds and twisted up with you? It ain't the Holy Spirit. But you got to know how to navigate out to that situation through your prayer life. Through your prayer life. If you don't know how to pray, you're in trouble. You need to grab a hold of somebody that knows how to pray and hook up until you learn how to pray. Amen? Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. See, because when you try to solve your spiritual problem with your mind, you get all confused. You stay up all night trying to punch the numbers, trying to figure out how can I make more money outlast this month? How can I run out of money, more money than the end of this month? How can I get this thing situated where I can have a little peace in this house? You get worried, you get sick, you often wear the frowns and frustrations and feelings of discouragement and despair on your face. So you can't hardly praise the Lord. See, this is how you can know you're free. You can pray, and you see answers, and you see results. He said, ask and you receive that your joy may be. And I mean, you come in, and you're wearing it on your face. I can praise the Lord. I can dance. I can sing. I can shout. Why? Because I'm full of joy. I ain't got to have a crane lift my hand off the chair just to get my hand up a little bit. Come on now. Hallelujah. So we need to act from our innermost being, from our heart, from our spirit. Learn to respond to things with your spirit. You see, I ain't going to talk about that yet. I got to pray about it first. Amen. Then you find the scriptures. Now we're going to talk a little bit more detailed about that further on. So we must learn and engrave the importance of the Word of God in the name of Jesus. We must learn to pray in line with that word, what the Word says. And our prayers will be effective. Now, 1 John tells us, chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, just a little bit more, and we'll close. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. Not every prayer that's prayed qualifies to be heard. Only the prayers that are heard are qualified to be answered. is God hearing your prayers? He said, if you ask according to his will, his word and his will are synonymous. So what does that mean? What does that mean? You got to pray the answer, pray the promise, and not the problem. Yes, it's true, take your burdens to the Lord and leave there, but that's when you cast your cares on the Lord. You give it to the Lord. But then you pray the promise, not the problem. You pray the word and not the problem. You got to remind God of what his word says. You pray the word. Look to somebody next to you and say, you got to pray the word. Amen. That's part of you working the word. Now, the secret number two is just simply just kind of dovetails with this one, asking the Father in Jesus' name. We'll read again John 16, 23, 24. And in that day, you should ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you receive, that your joy may be full. Prayer will be a struggle if we pray to Jesus versus praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? And then when we pray, it's business. So there's an act required on our part to be intentional, specific, confident, amen, and deliberate in our prayers as you would when you do business. You look at the numbers. You look at the paperwork. Well, at least you should, amen. You getting that car deal? You ought to be looking at that interest rate. How much am I paying overtime? How long am I going to be upside down on this car? Amen. How much is my insurance going to be? We ought to be that intentional and that deliberate and that confident in our prayers. Amen. The name of Jesus, again, belongs to us as much as our hands and feet belong to us. You're a child of God, the name belongs to you. Don't expect the angels to use the name because they've not been given the name. They will help you. They will work for you. They will go when you give them a command, but you got to use the name. Amen. But the devil will always try to seek to confuse you. He'll seek to withstand you, but the name of Jesus is yours, so use it. If you got pressure and you're thinking about what you can't have, what you can't do, how stuff is not working, God, where are you? You better rise up in the name of Jesus and get the devil out of your brain. Amen. Amen. Two things that you need to embrace very carefully. If you write anything down, write these things down. A revelation of the word and the revelation of the name of Jesus. There was a woman who was listening in a seminar that Kenneth Hagin was teaching, and for 20 years, everybody say 20 years. 20 years, she was immobile from her legs down, and she couldn't get up on her own, couldn't do for her own, couldn't cook her family breakfast, couldn't cook her husband breakfast, as she says, her testimony. And she said she got a hold of the word of God and got a revelation of the name of Jesus. Now listen to me. 20 years. Now she, at the time, she was in her mid to late 40s. And she struggled with sickness for 20 years. She got a revelation of the word of God and the name of Jesus. And then she looked up the scriptures that she learned in the seminar, the class there, and she got her Bible out and held it up and said, Satan, I break your power over my body. In the what? Because you don't pray to the devil. You got to talk to the devil. But you talk to him in the name of Jesus. I break your power over my body in the name of Jesus. And the first time in 20 years, she got up and fixed her husband breakfast and did her own chores around the house, did her own stuff around the house. Somebody said, glory to God. She was healed, completely healed. Because Satan is the author of sickness. God didn't bring sickness. Satan did. We said sickness, sin, and Satan are synonymous. Then she said, well, my husband, all these times we've been married, never went to church with me. Dropped her off, but never went himself. So she rose up in the word and took the name of Jesus and broke the power of the devil over her husband's life and keeping him from getting saved, and she claimed his deliverance and salvation. She said, I claim his salvation. She said in 3 weeks he was in church, born again, and they were having the best time in their marriage. Are you listening to me? Now, she had two daughters, two older daughters who loved to drink and smoke and go dancing. And she said, one by one, she broke the power over both of those girls. And she said, in 3 weeks, she said, she rose up. She said, I break the power of the devil operating in my two daughters, called their name out, in the name of Jesus. She only had to do it once. When you pray the prayer of faith or give the command of faith, you only have to do it once. If you have to do it again, you didn't believe the first time. Are you listening to me? And she broke the power over her daughters. In 3 weeks, they were saved, born again, delivered from cigarettes, drinking, and clubbing. What are we doing? God has given us the tools with his word and the name of Jesus to be effective in prayer. In our prayer life. Somebody say, glory to God. Secret number three. Almost done. Y'all good? Y'all gotten something out of this? Secret number three, praying for results. Again, we'll just put the scripture up. Just put it up, John. Now, did he say you might receive? If your joy, no, he said ask and you what? Will receive. Everybody say you will receive. We are to pray to, in the name of Jesus to the Father. And then we pray for results. If results not follow, then our prayer, if results don't follow, then our prayer life is a failure. It's not on our part. I mean, on God's part. It's on our part. Now, like I said before, said it last week, with new believers, usually we can carry them with our faith for about 3 years to 4 years, depending on how they mature. After that, you got to get it on your own. You got to stand on your own two faith legs. Because you should learn faith by that time. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
The greatest thing is with our children and grandchildren is not teaching them how to throw a ball or, you know, driving a car. It's teaching them how to pray. Because learning how to pray is more important than a college education. Amen. You want to teach them how to pray for their mate, their future spouse, people that they should connect with. You should be wrapping them up in prayer on a consistent, regular basis. Every day and in every and speak the name of Jesus over their spirit, soul, and body. Is this good stuff? P.C. Nelson, who was a doctor and he was called a Bible scholar before he went home to be with the Lord, fluent in 13 different languages, including Hebrew and Greek. He was a minister who was run over by an automobile. Doctors had said he would lose his limbs, but he was healed. Then he held healing meetings across the church. In these meetings was witness that God, Nelson prayed as if he expected God to heal him right now. Well, what do you pray? You pray with expectation or you pray with just hope? Hope and wish. Hope and wish God hearing me. Hope and wish God gonna do something. No, you should pray with expectation. And anticipation that answer is coming right then when you prayed. Amen? They were praying for a pastor's wife who had been racked with cancer at one time, 33 and a half years old, had three kids, and she was a pastor's wife, laid up, and they were praying, fasting, praying, 3 days and three nights. Fourth day, they still fasting, praying, oh, God, heal her, oh, God, heal her. Healer, healer, and praying, just praying. And he said, wait a minute. Brother Hagin stood up. Wait a minute. He said, I said, we're missing it. That's what you got to do. You got to get up and say, wait a minute, we're missing it. We're not getting answers here. We got to shift something. What is we missing? Whenever you miss it, pray in the spirit. And so they began to pray. He said, I've never missed it. I've never went more than 3 days without an answer. Now, look at the measurement. He said, I never went longer than 3 days without an answer. And in the case of this church, we prayed with people and agreed with people. We never went more than 7 days without an answer. You got to find good agreeers. Well, that's the secret number four, but we'll get to it in a minute. Amen. And so he said, wait a minute, we're not getting results. Everybody saying 15 minutes. They went over in the realm of the spirit. They went into prayer. Because, see, you don't understand. He said, lean not to your own what? Understand. Acknowledge the Lord with all your heart. Best way to do it in the New Testament economy is to pray in the spirit. Pray in tongues. And so they began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And then in a few minutes, Sister Aretha Hagen went around the end of bed, began to speak out in tongues, and then he interpreted. He interpreted and said, come out, thou unclean spirit. And then the pastor saw like a black bat just lift off her body and fly out the window. They felt it left the room. It was the presence of a demon in her body that had to leave, and then she got up and was dancing around the bed. I mean, she was skinny, emaciated. The doctors had given up on her and given her a death sentence. And they said, and then they broke the power of the devil in the name of Jesus and commanded it to leave. And then she jumped around the room, healed and whole, and was eaten when she couldn't hardly eat anything. Somebody said, glory to God. Our God is a prayer-answering, need-meeting God. Answered prayer is guaranteed. According to the word and in the name of Jesus. Whatever you're praying about, stand your ground until victory is manifested. God wants to send you the answer as much as you want to pray to get an answer. Isn't that a novel concept? He's more eager to answer your prayers than you are to ask him for something. But there's spiritual warfare against the host of darkness that comes in between. That's why he said in Isaiah 43, 25 and 26, even I am he that blots out your transgression for mine own sake. He said, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Everybody say, put God in remembrance. He knows what he said in his word, but he wants you to say it. He wants you to remind him. Lord, your word says, by your stripes I'm healed. Your word says that you heal all of my, forgive all my iniquities and heal every one of my diseases. Your word says in Psalms 107, verse 20, that you sent your word and healed me and delivered me from my destruction. You got to talk back to talk to God on the basis and the ground of his word.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. And you, to the devil, you got to say, it is written. It is written. Praise God. Amen. There's no use praying if you're not praying for results. And that's what most people do. People just quit praying. God does hear and answer prayer.
Amen.
He wants to hear and answer our prayers. Amen. Come on, let's lift your hands and thank God. He didn't put all these statements in the Bible just to fill up space. They're there for our benefit.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we need to realize the principle by which God's work. He's given us all these exceeding great and precious promises in his word, the name of Jesus, and we must learn and boldly declare that name in prayer in repelling the works of the enemy spiritually, physically, mentally, physically, relationally, and financially. Somebody say, glory to God. Just for example, just a real small example, is if you pray to God and ask him for $100, you're putting all the responsibility on him. And, others have done it, including myself. God, I need money. All the money you need is down on the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he said, I've given you angels to go help you get it. You just got to know how to work the system. Somebody say, glory to God. And so you got to tell the devil, take your hands off my money. I got tithing rights. Now, if you're not a tither, you need to talk to me after service. We talk to you in love. Praise God. You got to say, I got tithing rights. You said you rebuked the devourer for my sake. Come on now. Amen. All of my needs are to be met with heaven's best. Because I'm a tither and a giver. Praise God. You qualify for prosperity. So that means I don't need to be running around here broke. Let me run around here barely getting along. Come on now, I need to be running out here with some money. Well, Lord, just keep going. I'm gonna get secret number four. Agreeing and praying in the Spirit. Now, the last scripture, a couple scriptures are going to give you in the Gospels. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you, if two of you agree on earth, anything you should ask should be done of them, my Father was in heaven. Now, don't limit, put any limitations on that scripture. Put it up there, John. Is it up there? 18:19? Matthew 18:19? Don't put any limitation on the scripture. Just take God as a word. Amen. Now, let me give you some mechanics of this prayer of agreement, because the prayer of agreement is a prayer of faith prayed by one or more, two or more people. First of all, the prayer of faith is based on prayer. We need to understand the prayer of faith is outlined in Matthew 21:21. We didn't read that one, but I'll read that one. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Mark 11:24, which we read, and John 16:23-24, which we read. We told you to circle and highlight these. The purpose of this prayer, again, is to change something or get something. It involves praying to the Father in Jesus' name. Your individual praying, your personal praying, includes praying and asking according to the word of God and the will of God for your life. Amen. Now, you get the prayer of agreement, then you add someone else to your prayers. Remember, this is business in the realm of the Spirit. First, there's a prayer. And then there's an agreeer. There's usually one prayer, and there should be many agreeers. So when people like in the hospital, you say, we're going to add our faith to yours. We're going to agree with you. I'm a good agreeer. I'm also a learning better and good prayer. So you got to learn how to pray. Amen. So you must agree. On earth, that qualifies us. Well, the first part, you got to get in agreement. That means alignment, synergy, symphony. That means we got to have heart agreement. Will you agree with me about this? And I'm telling you, we've seen some really marvelous things over the history of this church. In 10 days or less, we've seen things happen when you agree. Now, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, so you're 10 times more effective when you agree. That's why husband and wife should agree. But a lot of times the devil got to get between, and you can't hardly get agreement. Well, you can be knocking some stuff out of the park if you get somebody to agree with you. Kenneth Hagin said he would drive 200 miles sometimes to agree with Mom and Pop Goodwin, because it, everything they prayed, he said this at their funeral, he said everything we agreed about and prayed about together came to pass. That should be the testimony of everybody in this room. Everything that we pray about and agree about comes to pass. Everything we pray, we agree, comes to pass. We get an answer. We might not always like the answer we get, but but we do get an answer. Amen. Now, when we don't agree, we don't get an answer. That's just real. Is everybody here? And so it includes praying, agreeing, and then you have to ask. So if you just agree, but you never pray, I want you to agree with me. And then they walk away and you never ask. Well, you broke up the formula. You have to agree and you have to ask. In the Father, in who? In Jesus' name. Praise God. And he said, it shall be done. Everybody say, shall be done. Of them, my Father, which is in heaven. So it's guaranteed to get results when you pray with the prayer agreement. I'm gonna close right there. We'll give you another story. I'll close with a story. There was a lady, English Presbyterian lady, who was with Brother Smith Wigglesworth. And Brother Smith was, she went to his assembly meetings because she got born again, filled with the Spirit. And they didn't like that in the Presbyterian church back in the day. And her husband was on the board, one of the deacons on the board of that church, in the Presbyterian church. And they came to him and said, he said, brother, you got to tell your wife to tone it down. He said, all this tongues business, tone it down. She got to leave or y'all got to leave. She got to stop it. And so he went on threatening his wife. You better stop. Better stop all this stuff. Or you ain't going to be here. And then he threatened her and said, look, if you don't do it, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave the house. And so she was crying. She went to Brother Smith and said, look, my husband said this, and he's usually not a liar, so everything he says, he does. He said, but Smith looked at her and said, look, are his words like Jesus? No. Okay, he's not Jesus, so we can believe regardless of what he's saying. And she told him, let's agree that when he comes home tonight, now notice how he talked. He didn't say if he comes home. Let's pray and agree. When he comes home tonight, you cook him his favorite meal. And then when he falls off to sleep, you begin to pray in the spirit. And then when you're in the spirit, you claim his salvation in the name of Jesus. They did. They prayed, agreed. He came home just like he declared. Came home that day. She cooked, had his favorite meal, treated him real nice, and then he went off to sleep. She put her hand over his head and over his pillow. She prayed over his pillow, prayed in the spirit, got in the spirit, and said, I claim his salvation in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the devil over his life. He woke up screaming, I want to be saved. Oh, my God, forgive me. I'm not even saved. I'm not even Christian. I belong to a Presbyterian church. I'm a deacon on the board of elders, but I'm not even saved. Got saved. I want what you got. Praise God. God is good. Everybody say God is good. Stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet. Thank you for staying a little longer. Hanging in there with a little longer. Y'all get something out of that today? Yeah.